and now dozens of civilians have been killed as Saudi Arabia and a coalition of regional allies launch a military operation in neighboring Yemen. The Yemeni media says the warplanes have bombed residential areas, including a hospital. Sana'a International Airport has also been hit. Now, dozens of Yemeni civilians, including children and women, have been killed in the attacks. Witnesses say the residential Bani Hawat neighborhood has been the worst hit. Now, the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. says a group of 10 countries have contributed to the Yemen offensive.
The use of force is always the last resort, and it is with great reluctance that we took this step along with our partners in the GCC countries, as well as outside of the GCC countries. We have a coalition of over 10 countries that are that will participate in these operations to prevent Yemen from falling at the hands of the Houthis. As I mentioned,
the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. made the announcement during a press conference in Washington. He also said Riyadh had consultations with the U.S. before the operation. Now, the White House has released a statement pledging Washington's logistical and intelligence support to the military campaign. Reports say that Saudi Arabia is planning to send over 100 warplanes and over 150,000 troops to Yemen. Now, Riyadh says that Egypt, Pakistan, Jordan, Morocco, and Sudan are ready to join the operation. The bombardment comes amid fresh gains by the country's Ansarullah fighters. Now we're joined out of Chicago by Professor Saif Dana of the University of Wisconsin. Professor Saif Dana, on what pretext does this coalition feel that they're entitled to go into a sovereign state and carry out these strikes?
Well, they're not entitled, and this is clearly a gross violation of the international law, and not only in the violation of the international law, but also a violation of the rules of the Arab League as well. So there is no legitimacy for such an aggression. Listening to the news coming from Yemen, minute by minute, and listening to the news about the number of children being killed by these aerial sorties and houses, civilians being victims of these airstrikes, we might be looking at war crimes in the future. We might be looking at war crimes against humanity, because basically, they have no right, no legitimacy to do such an act. Just last month, the resolution that was proposed by the Saudis and other countries in the region to the Security Council failed to pass. So there is no international legitimacy. There is an Arab summit that is supposed to be held in Cairo in the next few days. There is a meeting for the Arab foreign ministers tomorrow in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. They could have waited and consulted at least with the Arab foreign ministers, but they know they have no legitimacy. The only kind of legitimacy they claim to have is that they consulted with the U.S., and that they have the U.S. backing and the U.S. support, or at least some sort of a green line from the U.S. But such a coordination with the U.S., or what the U.S. Security National Security Council called joint planning cell, doesn't give any kind of legitimacy to such an act. So what we're seeing at this point is a clear violation of human rights, of the international law, a gross violation of the rules of the Arab League, and basically an aggression. A neighboring country attacking another country. We've seen that when Iraq invaded Kuwait. We've seen what was the reaction of the international community. When they even claimed that Russia somehow participated in the rebellion in Ukraine. We've seen the whole world moving. Now they're trying to give some legitimacy to an illegitimate act in Yemen. We have to remember two things here, that the Saudis were instrumental in conspiring against the Yemeni revolution in 2011, and in order to keep and protect the existing regime, they only replaced the head of that regime. And now, as we're witnessing a second wave of revolution in Yemen, basically Saudi Arabia is using military force to protect that regime. The president, or what they call president of Yemen, actually resigned. So he has no legitimacy as well to call on outside forces to come and attack his own country.
And Professor, that was going to lead me to my next question. Pardon for interrupting. But, you know, it seems like Hadi, the resigned president, has also lost a lot of internal support exponentially when he's losing that much support. What do the Yemeni people really want? Because they don't want these airstrikes. They don't want Hadi. What do they want?
Well, it's clear what the Yemeni people want. The Yemeni people would object. We've been listening to voices from Yemen over the last few hours, basically condemning such attacks. Nobody would want any other country to invade their own country, and especially in this brutal way when civilians are the primary victims of such attacks. The Ansarullah movement and the Yemeni army have a lot of support in Yemen. We don't see, even if we don't see that on some Arab media or we don't see that on some Western media, we know about protests of support for this wave of revolution in Yemen. They gained support also all over the Arab world, because basically people in the Arab world and people in Yemen know that the existing regime in Yemen is the same one that they were trying to oust back in 2011. And only by what was called at that time the Gulf Initiative, Peace Initiative, or the Gulf Initiative, that they were able to keep, the Saudis conspired basically to keep the regime in place. Now, as we're seeing the regime collapsing, and the regime, I mean, the Ansarullah did not really launch this attack on, or revolution really, on the regime out of no reason. They actually started with negotiations with other forces in Yemen, and there is an agreement. It's called Partnership and Peace Agreement in Yemen, and it should have had Hadi, who is essentially really a puppet of Saudi Arabia, had he actually implemented the agreement that all the political parties in Yemen agreed upon just recently, nothing of this sort would have happened. It was Saudi Arabia again who refused or ordered basically Hadi to not implement that agreement. They also ordered him to resign, assuming that that this will create a crisis in Yemen. It did not, because the people of Yemen were able to fill this vacuum, and now they're using the military force against the Yemenis. But if this is according to the Saudi ambassador in D.C., in Washington, D.C., if this is legitimate by international law, and if this is legitimate by the rules of the Arab League, that when an Arab country or Arab people ask for help, then the Saudis should intervene. I personally, on behalf of all the Palestinian people, call on the Saudis to come and help the Palestinians. We saw no Saudi reaction during the massacre in Gaza just last year. This is just a political game. It's a ploy. They cannot really pull this one. It's totally illegitimate.
Thank you there, Professor, for your contribution. That was Professor Saif Dana from the University of Wisconsin joining us. Meanwhile, oil prices have surged following the Saudi-led invasion of Yemen. Now, U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate for May delivery rose more than $2 to $51.49 a barrel. Also, Brent crude for May gained nearly $2.5 to $58.94 a barrel. Now, the recent crude price surge comes amid fears that violence in Yemen could spread to oil-producing countries in the region, including neighboring Saudi Arabia. Iran's health minister says the Islamic Republic is ready to provide medical services to victims of terrorist attacks in different parts of the world. Hassan Ghazizadeh Hashemi made the comment at a hospital in Tehran while visiting the victims of recent bombings that targeted mosques in Yemen. Now, Hashemi said that Iran's government and medical community consider the effort as a humanitarian responsibility. Amir Mehdi Kazemi has more in this report.
These 52 patients are some of the victims of the double mosque bombings that claimed the lives of dozens in the Yemeni capital Sana'a last Friday. They have been transferred hundreds of kilometers away from their country to one of the mobilized hospitals in northern Tehran by Iran's Red Crescent Society for the treatment. They are suffering from mutilations, fractures, damage to the eyes, and burn injuries. Many of these Yemeni patients have so far been operated by Iranian surgeons.
We were attending Friday prayers in the Hashush Mosque when two ISIL terrorists blew themselves up exactly at the time when we were chanting slogans against the U.S. and Israel. Many people were martyred. We are grateful to Iran's leader and president for helping the victims of terrorism.
Six of the Yemeni victims are in critical condition. Earlier on Wednesday, Iran's health minister personally paid them a visit to make sure that their treatment procedures were followed properly.
As a cycle of violence and terror continues to claim victims in the region, Iran's health ministry says that it's fully prepared to render all the possible medical services to those in need of humanitarian aid.
Dr. Hassan Ghazizadeh Hashemi, who is also an ophthalmologist, offered roses to the victims and visited some of them with eye injuries. On the sidelines of his visit, the minister said that Iran's government and the medical society consider their efforts as a matter of humanitarian responsibility.
We are proud of what we are doing. We are ready to render humanitarian services, especially in the field of medicine, to all the victims of violence and extremism in the region and other parts of the world. Let us hope that such atrocities against people would not happen again in the future.
Some 500 people were injured in the attacks at two mosques in the Yemeni capital on March 19. The bombings left at least 142 people dead. The Yemeni branch of the ISIL terrorist group claimed responsibility for the attacks. Amir Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.